What I want us to do is just have a little bit of a working understanding. We are going to dive into some specifics. But when we open up our Bible to the New Testament, everything from Matthew to Revelation, that's the New Testament, we are entering into the world of first century Palestine. So it's first century. Okay, so I want to just kind of like, as much as we can do right here, put ourselves in that situation. Okay, I want us to think of ourselves as good first century Jews, as my professor John Weatherly would always say. We want to think of just as we read Scripture, as we read the New Testament, how would they think? And that's how we need to think as well, at least in our first reading, or at least in how we initially understand it. So let me, in order to just kind of have an understanding of what the first century was like, I want to just kind of lead us up to that, because you know, your present is, you have a past that kind of led to your present that kind of tells the story of your present, right? So let me kind of just dive into this. Here's the thing. For hundreds of years, Israel was led by other nations. They weren't independent for the whole existence of their existence. But let me just give this a breakdown. This is going to go into the Old Testament and then kind of lead us into the first century. Israel had been under foreign rule. This started with the Assyrian Empire. After King David, after King Solomon, the kingdom split into two. Basically two kingdoms, northern kingdom, southern kingdom. Assyrians came in. They took over the northern kingdom. And then they brought in people from their nation, other nations, and they took over. Okay, and then later the Babylonians rose to power. If you're not up on your ancient Near Eastern history, that's okay. But another empire came in, took over the southern kingdom, and that's where you get like Daniel. That's why he's in Babylon, because he was one of the people who were taken from the southern kingdom and taken there. And then after that, you got the Persians that came in. Anyone seen like what's the 300? You know, the Persians and the Greeks. So Persians came in. After the Persians came the Greeks. After the Greeks came the Romans. And it's with the Romans that we kind of get into first century, especially in first century Judaism, because what ended up happening is there was a little bit of a period after the Greeks, after Alexander the Great died, the Greek Empire basically was split into three or four different camps. And one of those camps was kind of over the area of Judah, of Palestine. And there was a revolt. The Israelites came up and defeated the Seleucids, the Seleucid Empire, and they had their independence for a little bit. But then, shortly thereafter, the Romans came to town. They realized that they were not going to beat the Romans, and so they voluntarily became part of the Roman Empire. Okay, so they did not fight the Romans, but they saw that in their best interest to just submit. Okay, and so it's with that situation that we have the New Testament. And so the overall idea for Jews during this time was that they would much prefer to be independent. They don't want to be under Roman rule, but since they voluntarily submitted, Judaism was like a official, like recognized religion in the Roman Empire. So they could worship, go to temple, and all synagogue, all that stuff. Okay, and so it was good, in some sense. All right, so that's kind of the history of just real quick society. I want to read this quote to you from James Jeffers in his book, The Greco-Roman World of the New Testament Era. This is what he says. So this is give us a little bit idea of what society is like. Imagine a society in which the gulf between upper class and all others was so wide that their members had virtually nothing in common. Imagine that you were forbidden by law to marry someone of another class, and upward mobility was frowned upon. So if you wanted to, you know, make it better than what you are, it's not really the way. Imagine a legal system that always favored the upper class. Imagine a society in which, with very few exceptions, your status at birth determined the course of your future life. So really, what you are born into, that's your life. That's pretty much it. And the thing with the society is that it was a world so divided that they had multiple categories on how they kind of divvied up class. For us, we would typically think of, you know, if you've seen Titanic, you know, you know that, you know, the rich people had the nicer stuff, right? And the lower class people, the third class, whatever it is, they were way down below. They didn't get the lifeboats, all that stuff. But it was basically based on wealth, right? I mean, there was some, probably some other things that became because of the wealth. But the first century had many different things, specifically the Roman Empire. So here's some different things that they used as kind of like categories to determine your status, okay? One of them, a big one, was wealth, education, citizenship, whether you're a Roman or not, a Roman citizen, freedom status, whether you're a slave or you're free, or you're a former slave, or if you're always free, ethnicity, whether you're a Roman, Italian or whatever, ally or conquered enemy, so did we have to fight you, or did you voluntarily submit like the Jews did? Let's see, male or female, obviously, and marriage status. So your cumulative score in the century was kind of what your status was. So a lot of different labels, a lot of different barriers that you would have between you and another person. You're talking about like the interior, exterior, or whatever the words were. I don't remember what they were. There was a big deal. And so just imagine, as an aside, being the church in the first century, trying to bring people together in a society that was so divided. I mean, we have a divided society, would we agree? Mm-hmm. Yeah. But like, just take that and like magnify it. And then you enter Jesus, who comes in and he changes everything. He just kind of puts everything up on its head. And Paul does that later too. So the religious context, just real quick, the Romans worshipped a lot of different gods. They were what we would call polytheists, so there's like a god for everything. The Greek mythology, they adopted that. Really, you could just worship whatever as long as the Romans were okay with it, okay? But the Jews, again, they could worship Yahweh. Then when Christianity came onto the scene, here's the thing. Initially, it was seen as a Jewish sect, like a denomination, so to speak. But then later, the Romans realized that it was something different. It wasn't necessarily a Jewish sect. It was still Yahweh, but it was something different, this Jesus guy. So they decided that it wasn't going to be the same. And so that's when you find, as this first century comes to a close or starts to, the difficulty in gathering, the difficulty, some people are being persecuted, and so things start to kind of head to a place that just cause being a Christian being a little difficult. To be a Jew was much easier in the Roman Empire, but to be a Christian was much more difficult. And so here's just a couple of things. In 64 AD, Emperor Nero, something happened in Rome. There was a big fire. And he wrongly blamed the Christians and the Jews for doing it. And so this is where there were a lot of people killed, sometimes in the arena, where they would like put a person against a lion and stuff, and like everyone would watch and cheer, and it was like Friday night out on the town. So those kinds of things happened. By the second century, executions were happening in parts of Rome, or the Roman Empire, for simply being a Christian. But then there's ebbs and flows as you move past the second century, but we're not going to get into all that. So with that, I want to just do a quick case study in the book of Galatians. Okay, and this is really going to be, it's interesting, this is going to be connected to what we just had a discussion on with Ruth and the Moabites and all that. Exactly. So let me give you a little bit of a context. Galatians, it's the genre is an epistle. Epistle, it's basically a letter, okay? Like, if I were to write you a letter, we could call it an epistle. We wouldn't, but because that'd be weird, but we could. Geography, Galatia was, scholars are kind of split, like, was it because it was a region of Galatia? There's also specific areas, but let's just suffice it to say it's in modern-day Turkey. Can we do that? Galatia, modern-day Turkey. And scholars think that Galatians was written during Paul's third missionary journey. It was probably written around the same time as he wrote Romans. And depending on who you ask, who you read, we could say maybe around 56 AD. Somebody may disagree with me, that's fine, but it was in the first century. It was after Jesus rose. So we're going to just dive into the first 10 verses of Galatians 1, and then as a table, we've got some stuff that we're going to go through. So Galatians 1, this is what it says, starting in verse 1. Everyone there? We good? All right, it says, Paul, an apostle not from men nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers who are with me, to the churches of Galatia. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you receive, let him be accursed. For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. Okay, so right off the bat, we see something as a clue. Like if you read some of other of Paul's other letters, you will know that his typical introduction, his greetings, his small talk, so to speak, is a little bit more than, hey, grace to you, God's done this amazing thing for us all, I'm astonished at you. It's usually a little bit more like gentle. But there's something that happened there that he's really upset about. Now, I didn't get into this, but I need to get into it now. There's this dynamic between Jews and everyone else that Jews, for many reasons, they saw themselves as the people of God, the promised people of God. And so there was a chasm between them and everyone else, especially the Samaritans. And we read that, and you know, there's some tension in Jesus and the Samaritan woman and all that. But there's this divide, and so here's the thing. Jesus comes along, the apostles start to preach, and Jews start to become Christians. And then they get the bright idea to take the gospel to different places outside of where the Jews live. So the Gentiles, which we would be up all apart, and this is where the connection with Ruth comes in. So that when this started happening, there was a group of people. And you can read about it in Acts chapter 15, and we're going to get into it again in Galatians. We call them the Judaizers. And basically what they were doing is that they said, okay, you can become Christians, that's great. But what you also need to do is you need to be circumcised.
Yay!
as well as follow the Mosaic Law. Okay, all 600 and whatever commandments. 613? 31?
635, whatever.
Okay. Yeah. So you need to make that your way of life. You need to basically you worship Jesus, that's fine, but become a Jew. Okay? At least in practice, maybe not in ethnicity, of course, but become a Jew. And so that's the way you become a Christian. It's not just putting your faith and giving your life to him, but it's also becoming Jewish. And so Paul has this encounter with them back in Acts chapter 15, where he's like, listen, that's not right. That's not right at all. And we're going to get into that again, so I'm not going to give it all away. But let's just look at this a little bit more. In the end of verse 6, we see two words. End of verse 6, what are those two words? Depending on your translation, I think it would be worded the same. Maybe not.
Different gospel,
yes. A different gospel. Apparently, the Galatian Christians were believing some kind of alternative gospel, which I kind of just laid out, but I think we're going to see it a little bit more. In Galatians 2, go ahead and take a minute, just by yourself, Galatians 2, 11 to 14, read that real quick. done, just put your head up. Okay, so you see the tension there? He's hanging out with the Gentiles, his friends. And these people from Jerusalem come along. And he's like, nope. Not, he can't even have dinner with them. And that was a big deal in the first century. Hospitality. If you had dinner with someone, which, I mean, it's pretty much the same. Like, you usually don't have dinner with someone you don't like, right? But these are, like, close friends. Like, I accept you. Like, I'm good with you. Like, we're tight, you know? But he went away. Acts 15:5, real quick, says this: "But some believers who belonged to the party of the Pharisees rose up and said, 'It is necessary to circumcise them in order to keep the law of Moses.'" So, in short, this different gospel is one that says Gentiles can become Christians, but upon conversion they should begin practicing as Jews. The law of Moses, be circumcised, which was a big deal for guys. I mean, let's be honest, right? That's a real big situation. And the Galatian Christians began following this teaching. Because remember, in Rome, it was easier to be a what than a Christian?
Jew.
Exactly. It was, we're good. We are voluntary, voluntary submission. We're good. Everyone's fine. But not so much with the Christians. Because there was starting to be a little bit of tension. So, with that, let's jump into some more of the Galatians.